Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the H and H to my H. The JRs to my Jerry the King.
Nice.
By God.
Snort.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today. So we just finished getting high, having mimosas, getting high again, and now doing a podcast.
Yeah, I feel like I've been body slammed this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, the breakfast is setting in very strongly right now. We did go out and have a nice breakfast brunch this morning in anticipation of today's film and today's festivities.
Because not only is it the continuation of our series, but it's Dan's birthday.
Bop, 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 bop. Happy birthday, Dan.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to Dan. Dan's birthday is on the day that The Guardians came out, coincidentally. And Dan does love Marvel most of the time. Not so much right now. We'll get into it. But Dan does also love wrestling most of the time. Not so much recently, but we'll get into it. So this is a perfect, like, symposium. I don't know the word. This is a perfect mishmash of all the things that are Dan.
It's very serendipitous. How you say that word?
Serendipitous?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Found it.
So yeah, the front side's going to be a little loose because we're a little loose this morning.
I feel like there's a lot of topics to cover too with this movie somehow.
Yeah, it's going
to
be also very full because we're also very full this morning. And first on the plate, I do want to talk about the Guardians as a whole. Let's get into that side.
Okay.
So Marvel and Guardians. Guardians has always been one of the most consistently decent things that Marvel has put out. Like, you know, Iron Man 1 good, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, nah.
Yeah.
Same thing with Captain America, the first one's kind of meh. Guardians has always been good. The third one, you can tell that they're going to be putting a lot of love and a lot of emphasis on this as pretty much their flagship at this point. This is all that the fucking MCU has left.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'm still feeling that Marvel fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree with that feeling. It's been looming for what feels like a couple years now. I think Snort and I just talked the other day. Like, I think Guardians 3 is the first time we've actually been like excited for something since Spider-Man. You know, since we got all three of them. And it's a sad thing to think about and to say out loud. But at the same time, Marvel has that capability where all it takes is one. You know, we could go see this thing today and just be, like, strapped back in instantly. They have that potential. And from the little tidbits I've seen of this movie, I mean, I'm maybe a believer already. I mean, when you think about it, this is also, like, James Gunn, like, his farewell to the MCU as well. So I have nothing but high hopes for whatever we end up seeing today.
I'm excited for this movie tonight, not so much because it's a Marvel movie, but to see the finale of specifically The Guardians, you know. I think I am going to like the movie tonight, but I think I'm still going to have that Marvel fatigue. Because then that just means that one of the best things that's been going on in Marvel is done. So it's going to make that Marvel fatigue even more.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's a lot how I'm feeling as well. I'm starting to see the MCU at this point as the abusive relationship, kind of akin to the Jurassic World, where you take the first couple phases of Marvel and yeah, you know, that was a great time we had together. But recently you've been kind of doing me wrong and not really feeling what you're throwing at me. And I'm kind of worried that this is going to be that piece that sucks me back in and makes me watch the next goddamn fucking 8 years of fucking content again. But as Snort said, I'm also hoping that with the death of it, I can finally like release it. Like it's that one final like one night stand after you've broken up where you're like, yeah.
But yeah, so this is our closure movie for the MCU.
Yeah, this is where we can finally walk away, fist in the air, and be like, all right, It was a good time, guys. We're done.
Yeah, I mean, it feels fitting. Because honestly, too, I was trying to think about what comes after Guardians. And I just don't think I have my finger on the pulse the way I used to. Like, this is the one thing I am looking forward to that I just don't, I guess, really care about what's already announced to come out. I don't care to even look it up anymore. I think I'll be very selective after watching Guardians.
Well, with the Marvel fatigue, I think I'm kind of like caught. I don't know. I've missed some movies. I've missed a lot of the TV. Do we know where we're at in this movie? In the timeline?
I think we're at current. I think we're post Love and Thunder, obviously.
Yeah.
They've broken up with Thor.
What happened?
I forgot that they were even in that, honestly.
You
damn.
Me too. Like, what's happening with the Guardians right now? What are we walking into?
Okay, well, the Guardians right now, as it sits, we are post-snap, post-recombining. They've gone off with Thor. Thor has gone off on his own. They've done the Christmas special that kind of established that Ego is both Mantis and Star-Lord's father.
What?
Yeah, you missed the Christmas special.
I guess I didn't know that him and Mantis were related. Huh.
Yeah, because Ego, he was going around to different races and like impregnating them to try to find the next fucking elemental or whatever. And Mantis was one of those potentially.
Just Kurt Russell things.
Oh, okay. So they're step siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
What a fun twist.
News to me.
Yeah.
I believe that Nebula's arm was stolen by somebody and given to Rocket maybe during that Christmas special as well. So Nebula might not have an arm, or they might make reference to it, but that's what happened there.
Okay.
And I think that's where we're sitting with Guardians. From the feedback that I've been seeing, just headlines and from people around us, it sounds like it's going to be a good movie. It sounds like it's going to hit hard. It sounds like it's going to be extremely heavy.
You know what, though? I think Marvel's been kind of missing that. I think if you listen to some of the Marvel episodes that we've done on this podcast, that's kind of what we're looking for out of Marvel is, you know, we've got this kid-friendly stuff to start. They kind of get a little darker as we go get into Thanos and stuff, but a lot of times they put these villains in that don't really have a lot of stakes in them, and I'm sorry, but as deep as we are into the MCU, like, we need some brutal shit to happen.
Yeah, or you put some villains in that they have stakes in that do some brutal shit in real life,
right.
And then you're stuck with them Ezra Miller style.
Yeah.
With the feedback that has been going around, it just makes me even more worried that they're just going to fucking suck me back into this fucking thing. Because if it's going to be that good in that like heart, like, oh, it's going to feel so good, like, I'm going to be like, please do it again. Please.
Yeah, but what are they going to do it again with? Nothing.
Well, and you got to think, too. I mean, James Gunn is kind of the anomaly. Like, you know what you're getting in a James Gunn film, and that's the dark kind of stuff that we're hearing we might get. James Gunn is who I fully expect to get that from. I just don't. Unless Marvel reaches deeply for a solidified director who doesn't mind going dark, I just don't see him really doing it again. I mean, they had Sam Raimi for Doctor Strange, and even that didn't go as dark as it could have, you know?
Yeah, that was like surface level dark, not like my heart is fucking dead in my chest dark. Yeah, the loss of the characters, I think, is what's going to be, you know, really hitting in this movie. We know there's going to be a lot of rocket shit, which that's going to hurt a lot.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters, and I'm not ready for it, but at the same time, I understand it's time.
And if Rocket's going, you know, Groot's probably in that mix also, potentially.
Yeah, but he has the potential to grow back, though, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I see him staying around.
I'm just really hoping that the death of Chris Pratt, like, balances out all the sadness I'm going to feel from the rest of the movie.
So do you think he's for sure dying in this movie?
Oh, 100%.
I just feel like he has to. Well, no way you could further the story, in my opinion. Like, I don't think I'd be interested in any other way to take his character, I guess. Like, he's kind of run his course.
I do think we're going to get to see some of the other Guardians, the ones that were, like, at Yondu's funeral from the past Guardian stuff with fucking Stallone and the Miley Cyrus Cerebro head and shit like that. We're going to get a lot of fun, like, cameos, a lot of fun references in this one. But that's all well and good, but the main reason we're going to see this movie tonight is because it's fucking Super Slam Summer.
Super Slam Summer!
And we got one Mr. fucking Dave Bautista as Drax the Destroyer.
Man, I just want to start by saying Dave Bautista might be my favorite wrestler turned actor. And honestly, I know he's a little bit older, but he's still early in his acting career. He is blossoming into something that I think is so wonderful. And he's somebody who's putting in the time to hone the craft. And I respect the fuck out of that.
I agree completely. And he's just like such a nice guy that he seems like a nice guy that I'm glad like he's in these good movies. And I feel like he's very selective with what he's doing. Like he's not like The Rock, like just doing anything and everything kind of thing, how he started. But Dave Bautista, it's like picking specific roles, you know?
Yeah. Coming off of last week with The Rock and watching the rundown, it really puts Dave Bautista in the frame of the fact that he is the Rock that we deserve. He is the good Rock. He's the good version of the Rock. He is... Rock is already evil Rock.
Yeah. He's already heel.
Rocky sucks. Bautista bomb.
It works.
And his career was pretty much accelerated Rock. It was like, okay, we're going to throw him in an action movie with Vin Diesel. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, we're going to give him one shot at a movie where he's like a kid's caretaker or something. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, let's put him in a comic book movie. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Everything past that.
Yeah, I'm at a point where like Drax is just such an iconic character in the MCU. He has brought that role to life. And he's just this big, goofy, lovable guy. But at the same time, you cut to the next scene and he's just so menacing and vicious in his attacks. And I just, man, he can bring it all to the table in such a role like that.
I remember when he came out and like he was cast as it. I was definitely one of those people like the fucking wrestler.
A little skeptical, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This guy, he hasn't done anything. And the Drax character, you got a talking raccoon, you got a fucking tree monster, and Drax just steals the fucking show in that first movie.
It's just one-liner after one-liner with him.
He gets walk-in level one-liners in these fucking movies. And then after that, you've really got Bautista fucking doing some fucking good work. Fucking his role in The Glass Onion.
Yeah.
So fucking good. So good. So fucking believable.
I just really like movies.
It's just so relatable, Bautista.
Yeah, I feel you, Dave Bautista. We do a podcast about movies.
Well, hey, we do, don't we?
We do.
Maybe Bautista will listen.
He was the main reason that I like the like best thing about the... What was that one movie? That other movie he was in?
Knock at the Cabin?
Yes, he was the best part about that
movie.
Honestly,
yeah, that was one of those movies where it kind of like really cracked the Bautista-verse open. I was like, holy shit, where did this come from, buddy?
Yeah, and that's where he accelerates past Rocky. Like, Rocky tried to do his hand at fucking like dramatic-y kind of roles. And you know what? Rock can't fucking do it, dude.
Well, and that's the wild thing is if you put these careers, you know, next to each other, and you think about, how long it took The Rock to get to the blockbusters that he got to, which really ended up being like Fast and Furious, which he kind of got the boot from anyways, and Black Adam, which just completely failed. And then you look at Bautista in his short tenure, obviously Guardians. He's in Dune Part 1 and 2. He's in Blade Runner. He's in the Bond universe. These are way more high-profile franchises to me than anything The Rock has touched.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. You know The Rock's got to be drinking his fucking tequila down and just fucking fuming at the fact that Dave Bautista is crawling on the skeleton of his career.
But I'm sorry, you can't tell me there wasn't a world where The Rock could have been in the MCU. Like, I feel like he, if he really wanted to, could have. But he was just so attached to the Black Adam character.
You know they asked him to audition for Drax.
Multiple times.
100%. I'm sure they asked The Rock. 100%. They shared... They should have shared a casting room at some point. And I'm with you. The Rock probably didn't fucking go for it because of the Black Adam of it all. That's all he wanted.
Think about it too. James Gunn has worked with Bautista. He's worked with John Cena. What wrestler do you think he's going to work with next?
Not The Rock. Or maybe. I guess that's a fun question.
Oh, that is. I need a second to think about it.
Well, I was trying to think of what would be the next wrestler to turn like actor. Like current wrestler, you know. But I just don't know.
Yeah. I got nothing. Logan Paul?
No.
I got nothing on that.
That doesn't
count. I got nothing on that one. Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through. Hurricane is now in the DCU.
Can he just be the Hurricane in the MCU? Or no? Oh, DCU, fuck.
I actually think the Hurricane might be owned by Marvel in the comic book rights world.
Even better. What the fuck are we doing, people?
No, Batista, just a fucking insurmountable career. I'm so excited to see him in this fucking movie tonight. He just fucking shines. And he's a nice fucking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely has busted his ass to get to where he is. I've read a couple articles about like his upbringing, and he has earned everything that he's gotten at this point. And I'm very, very happy to see him, you know, essentially thriving. He seems like Hollywood is just kind of opening their arms to him and just bringing him in like, oh, you old wrestling buddy, we've got plenty of space for you.
Yeah, and not to keep going back to The Rock comparison, well, like The Rock also had a very, you know, rough upbringing as a child. Working in the industry mm-hmm. and stuff like that. He is also very charitable and fucking takes care of his parents. Very nice person. But again, Batista's just Rock Plus. He does that and then more. He goes above and beyond. He is excellent customer service.
Batista's like the highbrow version of The Rock.
Yeah, he's the luxury Rock.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah.
First class Rock.
And The Rock's not like bad or anything. The Rock's like Target. Like, it's still good, you know? Everyone loves it.
Yeah.
But Batista's just fucking Home Goods with a fucking Whole Foods attached to it.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. If you go to a Rock movie, you know exactly what you're getting, and that's going to satisfy you. But if you need a little flavor in your life and you want to spice it up, just go watch a Batista movie. Change it up a little bit.
Put that pinky in the motherfucking air. Yeah, Batista's a wrestler. I was out of it by the time that Batista started coming around. I wasn't really into his career as a whole. He came in with Evolution. I remember that era because that was around the time that Triple H had the belt for like 18 months or whatever. And I was like, all right, I'm done with this fucking bullshit.
Yeah, unfortunately, my childhood was the fucking Triple H reign of terror. The dude just never, ever lost until Batista turned on his ass.
Like, he tore an MCL and still held the belt for fucking 3 months during that time.
Well, he has a cerebral assassin. I gotta say, one of my favorite Batista moments watching as a kid was the Royal Rumble where Vince ran out and tore both of his quads. Where Cena and Batista got eliminated at the exact same time and they had to redo it.
And Vince is just lying down in the ring against the ropes.
He's running down, and right when he hits the rings, oh, he pulls up.
Both of them at once.
I forgot that was Batista in there.
That was when he was starting to get his push, too.
Man, all the McMahons just need to stay out of the ring till they invent robot legs at this point. They're just cursed on the quad.
Yeah, because Shane just came back instantly at WrestleMania and tore it. Boom.
Oh, do you think that's genetic? Like, do you think the McMahons genetically have bad quads?
Yeah, they have to. At this point, there's no way they don't. Because, I mean, Triple H is roped into the family now, too.
It's transmitted.
Yeah. Now, do you guys remember when Batista debuted? Like, when he was, like, Deacon Batista? He was with one of the Dudley Boys, Devon.
Reverend Devon. Yep, I remember him coming out and being like, who the fuck is this motherfucker with a soul patch?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was a very interesting time. I'm happy he broke away from that.
Yeah, when he debuted, I definitely thought he was going to be one of those guys that just kind of disappeared into the background and we never fucking saw again.
Just like a jabroni. But he overcame it because he walks alone.
Yeah, that was a big fucking like premiere time too, because that was this around within the same 8 months that John Cena came out for the first time.
Yeah.
And the first time Brock Lesnar came out.
Yeah, that was maybe one of their best like organic class of new wrestlers. Like, oh, look at all these guys we've been training behind the scenes. Because mm-hmm. I think Randy Orton just before them too.
Yeah, right around that same time. Yeah, everybody just came out. And yeah, that was the year that Vince solidified the next 18 years of his fucking business.
Which, that's crazy too, because Batista even started in the wrestling biz pretty like late into his life. He got a late start into it.
I just looked him up as the Deacon Batista, and I do remember this now that I'm seeing what it looks like.
Walk around like the little box, yeah.
I think Batista could do a really good movie where he's a sad fireman. Like a fireman going through shit. Like, maybe he's an arsonist. Maybe you don't know if he is at the same time.
He's playing both sides. He sets the fires and puts them out.
But you don't know that. He doesn't know. Like, maybe he's got like a split personality and he doesn't know that he's also the arsonist.
Hey.
and he's putting out his own fires.
Yeah, like a really like mindfuck kind of movie.
I hate to say it, but he's already worked with M. Night once. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, there'd definitely be a twist in that motherfucker. All right, guys. Well, it's getting ready to get to showtime-y. Are we ready to fucking travel to the goddamn cinema and watch some goddamn Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
That was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for the old Batista bomb from the MCU.
And that's the bottom line. Because Dan said, I don't know.
Because Batista said
so. We're going to the movies.
All right, fine. We're going to the movies. Bye.
Bye.
And now, our feature presentation.
Snort and John bought the tickets, and I bought some snacks, and we're back, and we just watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Silent John report. Wow. This just in. Marvel made a movie I absolutely loved.
Wow!
Yeah, Correspondent Dan's gonna fucking agree with that one. Fucking Snort Report, fucking editor?
Snort Report, this just in. I really, really liked it. A lot.
Yeah, I honestly think this is the best movie they put out since fucking Endgame.
I'm gonna have to agree. I think I like this even more than Spider-Man. Like, this just hit on every single cylinder for me. I on the way back home from the theater, I was trying to think of, like, the things I didn't like about it to bring up. And even now, I'm still kind of struggling. Like, this, to me, might have been a perfect Marvel movie.
Yeah, I agree entirely. We are a comedy movie podcast, so we are going to have to find some things to talk about and make fun of in some kind of aspects. But I agree completely. I think this was a perfect fucking Marvel movie. Obviously, with Guardians of the Galaxy, you have a lot of baked-in love for the characters and a lot of emotions behind it. When you're getting to the third version of it and you've seen these people 7 or 8 times already, so there's a lot of fucking ammo in the fire already to pull at your little heartstrings, and they did a good job with that throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, I think they made you they pulled at your heartstrings for like every character during this movie too. Even Chris Pratt. Did you feel bad for Chris Pratt during this movie?
We'll get to it a little bit later when we get to that kind of part.
Okay.
So we did see this movie in IMAX 3D. Fucking glorious presentation. The most beautiful, best use of fucking 3D I've seen. I don't know if it's the colorscapes they use. I remember seeing like the Thor movies in 3D and those not being good. I've seen Avengers in 3D. That was just too busy. There was something about the shots that just really worked in 3D with this.
Oh, it was just pretty visuals all through the board. I definitely think the colors were a big help in making it pop even better in the 3D way that we got to see it in.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend to see this in 3D.
Hey.
Yeah, and I was also very glad that it was in 3D because I had the glasses on, so you couldn't see my fucking eyes welling up throughout pretty much the entirety of this movie at certain fucking points.
Yeah, this is the first time in a very, very long time, probably, like you said, Dan, since Endgame, that I, like, was feeling some shit. Like, I was going through some stuff. I was like, am I actually going to cry in an MCU movie?
It's been a while since I've had one of those. But from the second that Rocket comes on screen, because I'm expecting Rocket to die throughout this entire fucking movie. And the second he comes on and they're playing Radiohead and he's just sadly singing along to fucking Creep. I think that the MCU was like, Dan, you need to be able to put yourself in this character.
Well, it just feels like the perfect opening for a movie like this, too, because, I mean, this isn't your typical group of, you know, cosmic Avengers, so to speak. They're kind of more relatable than all the other characters in the MCU, and I think that's what makes me appreciate getting them on screen. Like, it seemed like they were going, like, through the shit that I'm going through. Like, I've had those bad days, you know? It was nice to see them kind of live my sad life for a second.
And as someone that kind of forgot where we're at with the Guardians, it was very helpful, like a quick, like, okay, this is the vibe.
This is what we're going for here.
Yes. Yeah.
You got a little rundown.
Yeah.
The Rock?
No. Other wrestler.
This movie, it was 2.5 hours long. We're not going to be able to really do this beat by beat, so we're just going to go through it. This is going to be full of fucking spoilers, so fucking back it up if you haven't fucking watched it. Go watch it. Go experience this in the cinema. It's fucking beautiful. But anyways, aside from that, this movie's all about fucking Rocket.
100%. This is the rocket origin story and really the platform for apparently the future.
And I've always had a problem feeling for, like, cartoons. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I feel bad for that cartoon character. But fucking Rocket, fuck, man. They put him through some fucking hell in this movie. Fucking Auschwitz fucking level fucking torture.
It was just so sad. Like, I'm not a huge Marvel fan or anything, and I thought I was going to cry during this movie. Just because, see, I do, like, connect with, like, the cartoon character if it's an animal. I mean, it's easier to feel bad for an animal than it is a human. So you just put, like, a sad little animal. He was so cute, too, though.
I felt definitely worse for Rocket than fucking anyone else in this movie, but on that same aspect, Cosmo the dog, I just wanted that dog to be called a good dog so much through this movie. It was so frustrating. I'm a big fucking, like, Russian fucking space program fan. That's one of my weird fucking things that I'm into. I'm into Roscos. I'm into fucking Yuri Gagarin, fucking Laika, Sputnik, like all that shit. That was one of my weird fucking, like, YouTube fucking things for 8 months straight. So I have a lot of feeling for it. And Cosmo the dog, fuck, man, ripped my goddamn heart out through this movie.
Who knew that Cosmo would be such a scratch that niche little itch that you apparently have? You know, but I'm very happy that you had that moment with Guardians.
And every character had it. Fucking Kraglin overcoming his fucking not able to fucking do the whistle thing and becoming the fucking leader of nowhere. The side characters all just had great moments to shine throughout this movie outside of the main characters.
I think the one that shined the most for me was Mantis. She was so good in this.
Yeah, I have to agree because I think she was a character that I haven't ever truly cared for too much, but this movie is like, all right, you know what? I think I'm sold. Anybody who I might have been iffy on in this universe, I think I'm converted and I'm just a fan of now.
Yeah, Pom Klimtoff, she did a fucking great job in this. She was good in Guardians 2. She was really good in the holiday special. She was in the Christmas special. It was all based around her, so I expected really good things to come out of her.
Nice.
And they did just drop that little, like, hey, Peter's my brother thing, like, really early on as well.
Another way to catch you up if you're behind.
I'm sure there were some people in that theater that just, glad I gave you that little disclaimer.
Because, I mean, like, that's a big piece of info to put in a holiday special, you know? Like, for this universe that you built.
Disney's like, fucking make sure you subscribe to Disney Plus next time if you want to fucking get everything.
That's how they suck you in.
And I think Nebula, she fucking shined in this as well. Karen Gillan is Nebula. I always loved her character, but her having fun and being enjoyable and then just, you know, juxtaposed next to somebody as ridiculous as Mantis throughout the majority of the movie.
But then also, like, she gives off this menacing presence as she has in many, many movies before. But to see Mantis kind of put her in her place at times, too, and get that character development, see? It's the little moments like that that I'm just like, fuck. Like, this is, everybody has a purpose. Legitimately, everybody serves their purpose well in this movie. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about when we watched the rundown how those characters had, like, plot armor. Karen Gillan just had a plot arm. Like, whatever you need that arm to be in this fucking scene.
I thought about that. I was like, what, like, the best, like, power you can have to turn your arm into whatever you need.
So you're saying she had a Swiss Army arm?
She had a fucking Swiss Army arm of fucking galactic fucking proportions because she's, like, extrapolating information from a fucking flesh cube. And Star-Lord, you know, it's Chris Pratt. He's fucking Chris Pratt. He's serviceable. He was good. Fine. He was good in this movie.
I didn't have a problem with him, honestly. And I'm, even though, I mean, fast forward and spoilers, he doesn't die. He got the, like, that Captain America kind of send off. Like, he's living his life now. And I'm okay with that. Like, I feel like for how much I like this movie, I'm accepting of him not dying now, I guess.
Yeah, because hopefully we don't have to ever see him again, but they're leaving the option open for him to come back if we need him.
I knew that they were going to do that. I did think he was going
to
die.
But you got to think. I mean, he's, as much as we hate to say it, he's a very profitable person. he's coming off the heels of Super Mario Bros. That he was the lead voice in, straight into Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Like, this dude is every movie everywhere all in the summer.
I will say that when he was crying over Rocket on the medbay table, there was like a fucking 5% chance of me that was like, huh, Chris Pratt in a dramatic role. I wonder what that looked like. And then like the other 95% of my brain fucking slapped 5% back down.
He just, at this point in his career, he doesn't strike me as somebody to even dibble dabble in it. And he probably doesn't need to.
I feel like he's done dramatic roles already. Like some kind of dramatic stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure he has, and it probably hasn't worked. I see him more like ending up like Tom Cruise in Eyes Wide Shut, like a movie he has no fucking point being in. Like, there's no reason Tom Cruise was in a fucking Kubrick movie.
But at the same time, I mean, somebody could take that chance. Somebody could be like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to fix Chris Pratt. I'm going to make the world love him.
Yeah, and the stuff with him and Gamora, I really, as much as I hate to say it, I really liked him longing for her and her fucking eternal sunshine of the spotless mind, not knowing about their fucking past, and him just having to, it was very, very well done. And Zoe Saldana, she was fucking great, as she always is as Gamora, but more so you get to see that, like, the badass Gamora that started in the first Guardians that you didn't get to see that prequel side of. That's just like an I don't give a fuck, fuck you, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want.
And this was definitely my favorite iteration of her as well, because of that fact alone. Like, she didn't take any shit from anybody. And she also, too, and she probably gets it because it runs in the family, just has aggression done so well that another character I didn't really care for because she was on the good guy side, she goes heel, and I'm all here for it now.
See, I liked her a lot in this movie, but I don't know if it's just because, like, how they split up the story and everything, but every time she would pop up back on this, like, I always kind of forgot she was in it. Did you guys get that vibe, too?
Not necessarily. It's one of those things where just, like, it doesn't, I'm glad that, like, she comes back around and is a part of the team by not being a part of the team. But this, where we're at with their story, she's not, like, necessarily a big part of it anymore, yeah. I feel like. So, she was in it even more than I expected. But it was the perfect amount, I think.
Yeah, and then before we get to the man of the hour, Mr. Dave Bautista and his Drax, I also forgot to touch on it earlier, but I do want to talk about William Poitier, the Adam Warlock in the room. I thought that Adam Warlock was going to be the high villain in this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to just be a badass fucking, like, force of fucking power that's coming in and just fucking robotic and just, and I was so pleasantly surprised to see childlike Will Poitier.
I want a whole Adam Warlock movie now. Like, that's my one complaint about this movie, is that he was not in it enough.
Yeah, and I mean, he is kind of like a big-ish character, so I'm a little puzzled that they didn't feature him more. I mean, with everything else we got, it kind of makes sense, but we're going to see him way more. We have to, right?
Yeah. Kevin, so start getting the fucking Disney Plus fucking engine rolling on that fucking series.
Well, it's perfect because he's all those things that you said, except he's just not smart. And it's kind of like a kid just like trying to learn their powers as they go.
It's like a toddler with Superman powers. And the other person I did want to talk about before we get to Dave is the High Evolutionary.
Are you ready for maybe a hot take? I don't know if it's
I think I've got the same hot take as you.
Other than Thanos, like, this dude is like the best villain maybe I've seen in the MCU. Like, he went all out. James Gunn did not pull any punches with this villain, and it is the best decision that has been made. It is everything that we bitched about with, like, Thor, Love, and Thunder. Like, maybe they listened. Maybe they, like, just let him loose. Let him fucking be a villain for once.
Yeah, okay, so my hot take might be a little bit different than yours.
Oh, no!
Just make Kang go away.
Oh, ooh.
Fucking High Evolutionary.
Well, I'm already on board, so...
from what I've seen of Kang and from what I saw of the High Evolutionary, that guy scares me a lot more than...
Yeah.
Alleged fucking abuser Jonathan Majors.
Redacted.
I said alleged.
I can't remember. Has this guy been in Marvel stuff already? Has he popped in something?
Yeah, he popped in, I want to say, in the Guardians 2 because he created the Sovereign. He was in the post-credits scene.
He was.
When they unlock the warlock chamber.
And they even reference that in this movie because his mom's just like, well, you let him out early. That's why he's stupid. Damn, okay. Well, I was absolutely blown away by this guy. And I know he's like technically supposed to be dead. Fuck it. Find a way to bring him back. Resurrect him.
Yeah, he was fucking downright terrifying. And fucking the gravity power. The gravity power was a great fucking power.
And just like the whole like makeup, prosthetics, everything. So fucking cool.
Yeah, biggest presence I've felt as a villain. And that includes Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's wild to say.
Oh my God, I forgot he was in a movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is what we wanted Christian Bale to be. And we knew that he had the capabilities to do. But for whatever reason, we didn't get that.
But the whole reason we went to go see this, aside from birthday, MCU, you know, the various reasons, the real reason we went to go see this was one Mr. David fucking Bautista. And like we said in the first half, he came out swinging in that first Guardians, best fucking one-liners. He got that in this one also. But what I really liked was how they kind of brought it back, because you forget that Drax's fucking character has a terrible, dark fucking backstory. Like, they haven't mentioned it in a long time, the fact that he's only the Destroyer because his wife and daughter were murdered by Thanos.
Yeah, it's one of those things where maybe it's just because, like, Thanos is gone and he's been gone for a while that they don't address it. But that, I mean, that's pretty big mark to carry with you. And I think what this movie does ultimately is just kind of like humanizes the character. It's this grief he's been dealing with for all of these movies, even when he pops in like the Avengers movies. And it's nice to see his story arc come full circle and put him back to where he was before Thanos fucked his life up, you know?
Yeah, like he's always the comic relief in all of these. And he was the comic relief in this as well. And he does it great. But the scenes where he was with the kids, and you get to see Dad Drax, you remember that. You remember that that's all he's yearned for all this time, and he's so fucking good at it. And the line that Nebula drops at the end, you're not a destroyer, you're a dad. It was so beautiful. I know Marvel's in this weird, like, we're gonna fucking save the kids phase right now. Phase 2 of MCU was daddy issues. Phase 3 with fucking Thor, Love, and Thunder, and this is all about the fucking army of children.
There's a lot of kids in there.
But seeing Dave Bautista in there just bouncing around, and like when he found out he was stupid, like Forrest Gump levels, of fucking like, ouch.
He just got jennied?
No.
See, my heartfelt moment with him was whenever he wanted to go with Mantis when she was waiting to leave because he thought she needed someone to protect her, you know? And then he realizes that he's helped these people so much that they don't need protection anymore.
I mean, it's what I'm saying. That's just a beautiful bow on another character story.
And I thought we were going to fucking lose him.
Man.
I totally thought he was going to die in that part.
Wow, because he was just fucking slaying. Everything slows down and then boom.
And then that second shot comes in. Oh my fucking God. I thought he was going to go. And then like in the next scene, he's just, hey, like, what's up, everybody?
Maybe this is an issue because this is an ongoing problem. Groot in the very beginning of this movie gets blown to what is similar to Rock in The Mummy Returns. He's just crawling around.
He's the Scorpion King.
Next scene, he's just flying ships and he's grown.
Yeah, there were a couple of near deaths throughout this movie. Drax was one of them. Star-Lord, when he went back for the fucking MP3 player at the very end of the movie, and then he
got blown up to James Corden. That's what he looked like out there.
Oh. Looked like James Corden in Cats. Hold on, we're going to get to that one. I want to finish on Pratt. And when Pratt was flying through space and he hit that fucking thing and he was going to die and I saw him turning into James Corden and the music started swelling, I felt such comfort in that moment because I thought it was going to happen. And then goddamn toddler child Will Poitier.
Did Mr. Adam Warlock crush your hopes and dreams?
He really did. I know that we got the like send-off and they want to like... I thought we were going to like X out the Pratt. I thought it was done. I thought it was over.
I think that would be a really... If he would have died there, I think that would have been a dumb way for him to have died. To go back for, like, the iPod or whatever, and then he's gonna die in space like that. I don't think that's a...
Yeah, but then you let the iPod like float through the fucking shield so that they can his song continues on. That's afterwards.
Legitimately thought was gonna happen. When Groot reached out, I thought he was just gonna get like the MP3 player.
Okay, can we talk a little bit about the religious imagery in the last third act with Chris Pratt?
What?
In what way?
The Noah's Ark of it all.
Oh.
And then I understand Adam Warlock, you know, the creation of Adam, you know, the fucking finger thing. But like seeing Chris Pratt in two very Christianic fucking moments within 5 minutes of each other was kind of like, oh, someone's got his fingers in the fucking writer's room.
I mean, if this is his send off, I'd be surprised if he didn't, honestly. From all the junkets that we've been watching, him and James Gunn seem like they're pretty tight. So I think Chris Pratt can do whatever he wants in a movie like this.
And then the biggest fake-out death of the entire thing, which the whole movie kind of built up to, because Rocket was fucking Jamie Lee Curtis throughout this entire movie in a hospital bed for the most part.
But you felt sadder for him, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. But when Rocket started going into the white void, and throughout this entire movie, just the stuff with him and the other animals in the cages, and the fucking, the otter Lila, and the fucking weird fucking spider bunny, and Walrus Face, and he's walking into the void, and everybody's like, fuck.
You guys probably heard it too, but there was a lot of sniffles in that crowd. And I haven't heard sniffles since Endgame with a Marvel movie, so bravo, James Gunn. Pulling at the heartstrings.
Yeah, he really fucking tugged him. I was definitely fucking watery-eyed throughout that entire fucking scene, because I thought that was going to be the end of Rocket.
See, and this is where, I don't even want to say it's a weird relationship, because the more I think about it, the more I love it. But, like, we had the expectation, as we always do, like, oh, they're going to kill so many people off. And then we got to all these moments in this movie where these people were about to die. Rocket, fucking Star-Lord, Drax. Every single time expecting it to happen, I was just like, wait, no, please. No, we don't have to do this. Like, they pulled me back in. Like, I wanted them to die before this movie started. And now I'm just like, I guess, thankful that we got the happy ending with these Guardians.
Yeah, and James Gunn throughout this entire movie, just fucking phenomenal all around. The action sequences were some of the fucking best ones I've seen in a Marvel movie, period. Endgame, fucking Infinity War, all of them fucking put together. Some of the best action sequences I've ever seen.
That scene when they're on the ship and Drax mm-hmm. opens up like the doors and then you have like that tunnel scene. Oh my God.
Yeah, fucking Marvel loves a good hallway fight. And this was the single best hallway fight I have ever seen in my life.
With the Beastie Boys just blaring the whole time. Shit was in slow motion. Like I said, we saw it in 3D. Like, I felt like I was in there. And I was just jaw-dropped like, this is the Marvel I fucking missed.
It was so fucking cool.
Yeah, and James Gunn again. Fucking the soundtrack as a whole. The fucking 5th, 6th, 7th Guardian of the Galaxy. 15th Guardian of the Galaxy. Fucking the soundtrack. Just fucking slapped. It was so good. It felt ethereal. It felt fucking sad. It captured the vibe of the movie like James Gunn does with every one of his Guardians volumes.
Yeah, honestly, even like the ending song, Dog Days Are Over, like that whole ending sequence, like that almost got me too. I was just like, I don't want him to go yet.
And I love the fact that like on Nowhere they're just blasting this music all the time, introducing all of these alien species to the sound of Earth, and they even made comment of it. The Hive Evolutionary was like, there's only been one planet we've found that can create music and art like humans can.
Oh, he did say, yeah, a clever little bastard.
And there was just so much good in this fucking movie. Like we said at the beginning of the show, this was a perfect fucking Marvel movie. This was a perfect fucking movie.
I see. The more I'm trying to process this movie, it kind of feels like James Gunn played all the hits of the previous Guardians movies and all their, you know, iterations and other Marvel projects. He took all the stuff that everybody loved, threw it into this movie, packed the emotional punch of the century with Marvel, And just made it all better. Like, this felt like a culmination that got the send-off it deserved. Like, it felt like an event, like a spectacle for some reason to me.
And coming off of something like Quantumania, that was kind of just like a fucking ruined orgasm, man. to have this incredible thing fucking happen is just fucking chef's kiss beautiful. I love it. It was so good.
Okay, well, with how it ended, what do you think is next?
I'm really not sure. I think the MCU is in such a weird fucking place right now as a whole. You got Thor and fucking Love outdoing fucking the same thing the Guardians are essentially doing at this point. You got a whole brand new team of Guardians minus Rocket.
And Groot.
And Groot. There, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Groot, and he's King Groot now.
So fucking cool.
Kaiju mode. Oh, that was everything. Everything about this movie was great. You've got the Avengers that aren't the original Avengers. Everything's just so disjointed that it doesn't feel like everything's coming together. And we did leave before the last end credits because, fuck it, I'm old now. I'm not staying until the fucking last end credits. I'll look that shit on fucking YouTube like a goddamn old person.
At this point, though, we got no reason to care about the end credits. We're not that invested. Come on.
I was just trying to avoid Jonathan Majors. Like every person should, allegedly. But I just don't know where they're going to go with it as a whole. But that doesn't bother me after seeing what I saw.
I mean, that's a good way to put it. I unfortunately think I'm still in the vein of I'm still kind of meh about what's to come. I need a second dose of Guardians Volume 3 to be on board with, I guess, whatever the main picture going forward is. I mean, I know we have Fantastic Four. We had some Avenger movies down the road, but that might not, might have to take a different Avenger story. Like, there's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of who knows what. I guess I'm halfway here for the ride.
I don't know, like, what the story would be with them at all, but I could see them throwing the ending Guardians into a TV show now.
No.
I don't want it either, but I see them doing it.
I'm just tired of the TV shows.
I could definitely see a Firefly-style TV show with the new Guardians of the Galaxy.
Were you guys, like, on board with the new lineup? It just felt weird.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It also feels weird with fucking Chris Hemsworth going off with Love their fucking thing. Yeah. Like, everybody feels weird. I think at this point, and I would be perfectly fine with it after this ending. Like, I think Guardians ended so great. Let's just take 5 years off and wipe it and start it again, guys. Let's just start it up from scratch. Take 5 years off. Let's do a new Iron Man story with somebody else. And I would be perfectly fine with that. Like, I don't need this relationship to be a lifetime relationship with this universe that exists as it does right now. You know what I mean? This MCU is fine. Let's move over to another multiverse with different people, different characters, and let's start fresh.
Yeah, we've had so many duds. Why not end on, like, a high note for once? It feels like it's been a while since we've had a high note. So, I mean, I'm on board with that. I could use a little Marvel break. I know probably many people could use a Marvel break.
Like, at this point, I don't want to see an MCU that's got all these, like, the leftover characters. You know, like the Kraglins. I want to see somebody else's take on Yondu and a different story involving Yondu. I want to see somebody else play fucking Steve Rogers. Not Anthony Mackie playing the Falcon version of Captain America. I want to see Anthony Mackie play fucking Steve Rogers or something of that nature.
Because you get, like, these really cool characters, and you can only use them for, like, so long and so little story compared to what's actually been written about them. Like, there's so much stuff to use.
I mean, shit, look at DC's side of things. How many Batmans have we had in, like, 5 years? That's all you need, just a little window of time. Give it a break.
I think they're so worried that they've caught that magic in a jar. They don't want to let it all... No, there's still some on the inside. I promise. There's still a little bit here. There's still a little bit here. And there is. Guardians 3 is the fucking evidence of it. But at some point, you got to take a shot on a new jar, man.
I don't know. I think for some reason, I always have this feeling, too, that if things get really dire with, like, Marvel, they have that nice little break in case of emergency glass. Robert Downey Jr. just sitting in there, one phone call away. Look, just name a price. We really need you right now.
AC/DC starts fucking playing, and in he comes flying.
I think if they back the truck up, they can get him back at least one more time.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our Guardians of the Galaxy birthday, Super Summer Slam, Dave Bautista, fucking MCU, fucking multiverse episode of the day.
Wow.
God, there's a lot of things being like celebrated, I think.
There's so much. Yeah.
There's so many reasons to be happy today.
Well, I'm glad that you ended up really loving your birthday movie.
I did. Chris Pratt didn't die, but I loved it nonetheless, because now I know I also don't have to see Chris Pratt in a movie for a while.
Well, you are seeing this again, so...
Oh, damn it.
But I will say, this is a movie that I want to go back to the theaters and see one more time at least, before it's gone. That good.
But that is going to do it for this week's episode. But coming up next week, we're going to be continuing on our Super Slam Summer.
Super Slam Summer!
You got no wrestling noises?
By God!
By God indeed, because coming in next week at a height of 8'2".
Wow.
From the fucking, I don't know, Versailles region of France. I don't remember the actual hometown.
That's okay. We'll look it up for next week.
We've got Andre the motherfucking Giant on our slate.
And what movie could that be that we're watching?
The single greatest Andre the Giant movie, one of the best storybook movies ever, and one of my favorite movies from my childhood and beyond, The Princess Bride. We're coming off a perfect movie, and we're literally going to be walking straight into another perfect movie.
You want to know something? I feel like this is actually kind of surprising about me. I've never seen this movie.
Dang, you ready to be double dog disappointed? I am excited to see that claim you've made, Dan. I will judge that for myself next week, because I too have not seen this movie. And don't razz me. All right, look, I razz myself enough.
Oh, my two friends on the couch, you guys are in for such a treat, especially since you guys are big fucking Shrek heads.
Wow. The fuck, yeah.
Shrek does not exist without the Princess Bride.
Okay.
The Princess Bride is the perfect, like, Disney movie that never was. It's fucking beautiful. It's well written. It's funny. It's well acted. Great fucking cast. You got Andre the Giant. You got fucking Cary Elwes. And you have fucking all-star actor Mandy Patinkin as Inigo Montoya. Some of the best fucking swordplay. It's so swashbucklingly fucking great. Oh my God. I am so excited for you guys to see this sweet, fucking well-hearted, beautiful fucking movie.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. I'm always a big fan of crossing the classics off the long list of movies to watch. So should be fun.
Oh, it definitely will be. And if you want to follow along with the rest of our Super Slam Summer and listen to us review The Princess Bride and beyond,
make sure to give us a follow on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @thsmpodcast. Make sure to give us 5 stars. Leave a review on Apple, Spotify, wherever else you're listening to this at.
But that is going to do it for this week. So if you see 3 people wearing fucking 3D glasses getting on an elevator for 15 people with 2 other people, and that's probably the fucking limit, but they're really, really high, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, a-holes.
You know what it reminded me of? Harry Potter. When Harry Potter goes there and talks to Dumbledore, like when he like dies, you know? That's what that scene was exactly like.
The fuck is a bicycle?
I cut you the throat.
Oh, shit. I forgot to talk about the fucking cursing in this goddamn movie.
Oh, our first F-bomb.
Fuck. There was so much fucking cursing in this fucking movie. For a goddamn Disney movie? What the fuck was this shit?
Wasn't it motherfucking brilliant, though?
There was fucking... Like, I thought goddamn fucking more than fucking George Carlin was fucking up there.
There was a point in time where I think they might have gotten away with kind of saying the forbidden C word. You know what I'm talking about?
They did.
Yeah,
they did
drop
that C bomb. Mm-hmm.
That might have been bigger than fuck, honestly.
Get in the fucking car. Wow. Did not expect that to happen. Okay, bye.